Well, open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. Can anybody tell me what we're going to talk about just in having you turn to 1 John chapter 4? No? That's all right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus, and we lift up Israel. You said to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the peace of Israel, Father. We thank you. We understand in knowing and praying for the peace of Jerusalem that the word peace is the word shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken, everything in its place. So, Father, tonight, we just declare shalom in Israel. Nothing missing. Nobody can take the land away. Nothing broken. No divided lands. In Jesus' name. And, Father, we lift up our president. Lord, we thank you for giving us leaders that have a heart for you. We thank you for giving us a Congress and Senate that bind themselves to the laws of this land. For a judicial system that doesn't make laws, but enforces them. We thank you, Father. We lift up all leaders across this nation tonight. We lift them up to you, knowing that in doing so, you're going to give us a peaceable life in you in all godliness. We thank you for it. You know, I know not everybody's a fan of our president. Not everybody's a fan of the previous president. Wouldn't it be interesting if everybody loved every president we ever had? But Rodney Howard Brown, does anybody know who Rodney Howard Brown is? Oh, he's a great Holy Ghost evangelist. Rodney Howard Brown, and he was at the school that we went to in the 90s, and he did a series of meetings there where the Holy Ghost interrupted hundreds of lives and performed Maria Woodworth-style signs and wonders, if you know who Maria Woodworth is. Maria Woodworth was an evangelist, and Kathy did a report on her. She got stopped by the Holy Ghost, frozen for 3 days in a preaching position like this, rain or shine, awake, alive, but not here. They swept around her. They had the same kinds of things happen at Rhema. People would be worshiping the Lord and just be frozen where they stood. And the ushers would have to vacuum around them. And they would pick them up and put them in the lobby. Oh, they tried to? Oh, all right. That's right. That's right. Remember Lonnie and Dana who were here back in September? Lonnie was an usher there at that time. He said they would try to pick people up and move them, and they would all fall out under the power and get frozen too. They couldn't move anybody. Anyway, this is Rodney Howard Brown. He now is a pastor of a big church in Orlando, Florida. And he was called to a meeting this week at the White House with several other pastors and evangelical leaders and met with the president and laid hands on him and prayed for him. And Rodney Howard Brown said that the presence of God that was there, he said, was so humbling. And I posted the article on Facebook today. He said that the president is more focused and more determined and unafraid in his direction and calling from God. He said, it's just amazing. And so, you know, I love that. I love, you know, when we have godly leaders. One of the things that we want to be careful of is that, you know, in being, because we're, you know, Christians are, we're the conservative people, right? It's one thing to be conservative. It's another thing to be godly. Because there are a lot of people out there that are conservative but are not godly. Okay? So it's important that in our being conservative, we remain godly. Okay, 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Read along with me. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Where is love from? Right here in Scripture. If you believe Scripture, then any love, that is true love, comes from God. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Remember when Jesus said, you know, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you say, I hate my mother-in-law. Oh, she's mean. Ask yourself, would you like to see her die? Would that make you happy? No. Why? Because you don't really hate her. You might not like the things she says. You might not like the things she does. But you don't hate her. You love her. If something happened to her, you'd be upset. You can't truly hate somebody and be born of God, because love is of God. You might not always necessarily like somebody. We don't have to like people. We just have to be quiet and peaceable and gentle with them. Get along with them. But you don't get to hate. Bible says here, if he that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. If you can look at somebody and say, you don't love them. I worked for the Salvation Army. And I had this assistant. I was the director, field representative for San Luis Obispo. And I had this assistant, and she would follow me when I went to the bathroom, and she'd talk to me through the door. Honest to goodness. And she would drive me nuts. For several weeks she towed a trailer behind her car everywhere she went. I think she was nuts. She wasn't quite there. She wasn't really quite there. And, you know, she did stuff like that. I mean, you know, she lived in a house, but she towed her trailer. She said, I asked her why she kept towing it. She says, well, I just don't know how to unhook it and where to put it. So you're just going to tow it everywhere. That's awesome. And, she would do things, and she was hard to get along with. And I was talking to my supervisor, and we were talking about we were going to let her go because she just, you know, she was always late and didn't get stuff done, and it was just real hard. And my supervisor said, well, you're just going to have to let her go. And I said, well, it's tough, you know, because, you know, I love her. And she says, no, you don't. This is the Salvation Army. I said, no, I do. I love her. I mean, she's, you know, she's a great person, you know, when she's not doing weird stuff. my supervisor insisted, you don't love her. No one could love her. Wrong. Yeah, I love her. My brother is hard to get along with. He will yell and scream, and I mean, he will spit in your face and call you nasty names. I still love him. He's my brother. I'm born of love. I'm born of God. God is love. Verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, or the mercy seat, for our sins. Beloved, if God loved us, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and in his love, and his love is perfected in us. Again, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. We know that God lives in us because we love him. I didn't love God before he moved in. I ran from God. How many of you were loving God from a distance before you got saved? And just, oh, I just love God, but I just don't really want to have anything to do with him. I really just don't want to have to obey him. You can't love truly. A husband and a wife can't truly love each other outside of God. That's why marriage is before God. Because it's a covenant that we enter into between God and another person. Government doesn't have anything to do with it except taxes. Come on. I'll step on a toe. Be easy with these on. Verse 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. So, you confess that Jesus is your Lord. You know that he's the Son of God. You enter into a dwelling together with Almighty God. God himself is love, who now dwells in us. And we have known and believed the love that God hath toward to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. As a believer, I dwell in love. I may not always act like it, but I dwell in love. I'm the temple of his Spirit. Love dwells in me. I got love living inside of me, moving inside of me. And because of that, I can now love. I can love people that I wouldn't necessarily like. When I was in Teen Challenge, and I've told this story before, about the guy that was just mega irritating, and I didn't really like him. And so I started to pray for him. You know, not like the country western song that, you know, a pot would fall on his head or, you know, those kinds of things. You've all heard that song, right? It's an amazing song. It starts out, you know, the guy says, you know, he's talking about a breakup, and he said and he went to church, and the preacher said, you know, that we should pray for those that we have ought against. And so he took it to mean, you know, so I pray for you that when you're walking down the street, a pot falls on your head. You get caught or hit by a car and, you know, all these things like that. It's funny, but that's, you know, it's not the point. So I prayed for this guy, and what changed in me was the love of God worked on me. Just like a cleansing agent will do. You pray and you say, Lord, change my heart towards that person. And the love of God that's there on the inside of you starts to change your heart towards someone. Starts to give you a place. I was over at my dad's house and the refrigerator thing. Turns out it was a switch that controls the sensor, and the guy's there and he's fixing it. And I sneezed. He said, God bless you. And I thought, well, that's interesting. Most people just say bless you. And so I was sitting there and he's working on that thing. And, you know, neither of us want to do too much talking because the more talking you do, the more you inhale the smell. And I sneezed again and he said, God bless you. And so I thought, oh, I bet you he's a Christian. And so we got to talking, and he's a Christian, and he and his wife have been married for 3 years. They have a 2-year-old daughter and a son that's going to be born any time now, any day. And he says, you know, I just love my daughter so much. It's hard to imagine being able to love this one too. And I shared with him my amazing wisdom, which was my mom told me, and this is what I told him. I said, you know, when Kathy and I were getting married, my mom told me, I said, you know, it's just, we were talking about it, and she says, honey, the heart always makes room for more. And I told him that. I didn't call him honey. I said, what my mom told me was that the heart always makes room for more. And, you know, we had our daughter, and she was 6 years old, and then we had our son. And I was happy as I could be, you know, just me and my girls. That's what I did. It was me and my girls. And I loved me and my girls, and it was amazing. And then this little boy comes along, And I'm holding him, and one day, I don't know, maybe a week. No. But this, what happened, this actual thing that happened was I was holding him, and I looked at him, and he could have only been a couple weeks old. And I'm holding him, and all of a sudden, my heart just filled up. And I looked at him, and I told Kathy, I said, she came home from work, or she was visiting somebody or something, and I said, I was holding Josiah today, and I just had this massive, I just fell in love with him, and I've just been crushing on him all day long ever since then. And she looked at me kind of like, are you okay? You know, kind of half wondering, is, have you not ever loved him before? And what are you talking about, you're crushing on your son? You know, because in this day and age, it could mean a number of different things. But my heart just opened, and I told this young man that, and he was so relieved to hear that, you know, this kind of thing happens, and it happens kind of like in that fashion. Because for a mother, when she's pregnant, she's got this baby inside of her, and she can feel this baby, and she's nurturing this baby from the moment she gets pregnant, and she's caring for this baby, and then she delivers this baby, and she holds this baby. And for her, love began the first moment she found out she was pregnant. And then when that baby kicked the first time and it became real that there was someone in there, love grew for that baby. But the husband's not having those kinds of sensations. The husband's not having that kind of experience. And yeah, I loved my son, but I was holding him and I realized, I love you. And it's that kind of love. Not everybody had a great father, but we have a great father now. One who loves us, man. I'm telling you, one who is the author and the creator of love. The one who is love himself. He is love himself, living on the inside of us. Love himself. It lives in us. Come on, crushing on us. Every time you come to him and you say, Abba, he says, oh, baby, I love you. And he wants to hold you. He wants to be like that hen the scripture describes as a bird gathering her hens under her wing. That's how he loves us. Come on. He gathers us in, covers us with his feathers. He loves us. Yes, he is. He's crushing on us. Verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is. As he is, so are we in this world. What is he? He's love. As he is love, so are we in this world. We have this as boldness in the day of judgment. As he is, so are we in this world. We are love. Love lives on the inside of us. It's like that river from Ezekiel 47 flowing out of us. It's a river. I got a river of life flowing out of me. Come on, I'm a little flat, but you know the song. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens captives' doors, lets the captives free. Oh, prison doors. I flowing out of me. Break up a well within my soul. Spring up a well. Debbie's got it. She did that one. And make me whole. Come on. There's a well of love, a well of life. The Spirit of God himself, like a river, is filling us with himself. Romans 11 says, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Spirit of God who dwells in us. Love has been shed abroad in your heart. You take the seeds, and you're just going to scatter some wildflower seeds out in your field. You're scattering those out there. You're casting them. You're throwing them abroad. They're cast abroad in your heart. Take a bucket of paint. Sling it on a wall. I know that's not the proper way to do it. But it's shed abroad on the wall now, isn't it? It's like you've been painted on the inside with love. No longer can you truly hate. You can't really hate somebody. A person who's born again cannot truly hate. Any person who can truly hate, who can disown and disavow and remove themselves from people, does not know God. If a person can walk away and cast people off as unimportant, there's not love there. If there's not love there, what's not there? Come on. The Bible doesn't tell us not to judge. It says, judge not lest ye be judged by others. Well, we're also told to judge righteously. Jesus said, by their fruit will you know them. A person who's not walking in love, they're probably not walking in God. Can I say that? Absolutely, I can say that. Why? Because the scripture tells me. If a person isn't walking in love, if they're bitter and hateful and vengeful and spiteful, always trying to get one up on somebody else, is there love there? If they're always trying to pull the wool over your eyes, always trying to deceive you, always trying, come on, that's not love. Love, 1 Corinthians 13, that's exalting itself, puffing itself up. Love doesn't do that. Love isn't like that. Put my glasses back on. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Herein is our love made perfect. As he is, so are we in this world. I'm made perfect. The love of God in our hearts perfects us. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. You can't go around, I can't go around being in fear of the economy, being in fear of what the governor's going to do, being in fear of what Korea's going to do, being in fear of what Russia's going to do. Come on, that's not faith and that's not love. We're supposed to be first and foremost, we're in love. Love, I don't get to talk bad about the president. You don't get to talk bad about the president if you're walking in love. You may not like what the president says. You may not like what the president does, which means that you need to be praying for the president. But you don't get to talk bad about the president. There are certain news networks I don't like. I just don't talk about them. How about that? Celebrities I don't like. I don't talk about them. I'm not going to talk bad about them. Do you know that every person's made in the image of God? Love, don't do that. We love him, verse 19, because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a... If a man or a woman says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God who he has not seen? You can't hate somebody. I don't get to hate anybody. You don't get to hate. Hate is not from God. Hate is not love. It is the antithesis of love. Hate is what the devil spreads. Hate and fear. Fear that you're never going to make it. Fear that you'll never have enough money to make it. Fear that you're going to have a heart attack and die and all by yourself. Have a stroke. Nobody finds you for days. Then you really end up as a vegetable. That's a fear. Love doesn't have fear like that. Love doesn't have fear that God's going to punish me when I make a mistake. Come on, I got a 7-year-old son. He does some stuff. In the rearview mirror, he's back there poking his sister. Yeah, he gets in trouble. But he always knows who loves him. And he never gets beaten. Not once has he ever been beaten. He gets a lot of threats for spankings, but it's been months since he's even had one of those. He gets what he needs when he needs it. Yes, I'm talking about spanking in church. Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. Now, either the whole word is the word of God or it's not. Someone could say amen to that. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God loves also his brother. Love casts out fear. Love casts out hate. Love, the Bible says, love covers a multitude of sin. So you got somebody who's always doing something, and you're just all the time. Oh, I just love you. You know, I have grace for you. I have mercy for you. You know, because everybody, we've got family. And no family ever gets along perfect. And no family has anybody in it that's perfect. That means you too. You're not perfect either. So get over yourself. You're probably irritating somebody just as much as they're irritating you. It's the truth, you know it is. Before we close up here, let's look over at Deuteronomy chapter 7. You're going to talk about love and go to Deuteronomy? That's what I read to go to sleep. I know you do, baby. Deuteronomy chapter 7. It's on page 224 in my Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any other people, for you are the fewest of all. God did not choose Israel based on a physical attribute, on a physical ability, because they were bigger, stronger, better, brighter. He chose them. Verse 8. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, he chose you because he loves you, not because you obeyed all the commandments, not because you never said a cuss word, not because you mowed your neighbor's yard. And he didn't stop loving you because you didn't mow your neighbor's yard. And he didn't stop loving you because you weren't as talented as Susan or Johnny. He loves you because he loves you. Come on, it's right there in Deuteronomy of all places. I love you because I chose to love you. I chose you because I love you. Not because you can do something great. He didn't choose me because I can preach. You know, before I got saved, I didn't think I could preach. When I was in Teen Challenge and they make you get up and they do these, you know, 10, 15-minute devotionals and you were on a rotation. And once a month it was your turn and you had to do these little 10, 15-minute devotions. I thought, what am I going to do for 10 to 15 minutes? Now try shutting me down after 40. You know, it is just the truth that he just loves us. And he fills us with himself because he wants to, because he loves you, because he looks at you, and Zephaniah 3:17 says he spins around wildly in anticipation of you. At the very thought of you, he gets excited. Come on, he is. He's crushing on you in the sweetest, most sincere, gentle, fatherly way. He just loves you. Like that day when I was holding Josiah and all of a sudden, I just was crushing on him. I would do anything at that point for him. I just love him. And when he's a little stinker, man, I still love him. Because one of the things he does, you know, he comes every morning and he crawls in bed and he cuddles up next to me and he can't get comfortable. And he just wiggles and he's all over the place and it's uncomfortable. but he's my son, and he came to me. And he'll come and he'll sit in my lap. I'm his Abba. Romans 8:14 says that the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, and it's because of that we're able to call out to him, Abba, Father, which means, dear Father, my dear Father, Abba, my dear, dear Father. He's our Abba. He loves you. He loves me. He loves us, and he's filled us with himself. With him, love is filled in us. And he's our Abba. And he loves us dearly. So much. Amen? Heavenly Father, we thank you for filling us with your love. Thank you for filling us with yourself. Thank you for shedding your love abroad in our hearts by your Spirit that dwells in us, for adopting us and making us your children. And we can call to you, Abba Father, because you live in us, you dwell in us, you love us. We thank you for loving us and making us capable to love you. Now, Father, I just ask that you would continue to reveal yourself to every person here. Reveal your love to every person. Show them how much you love them. In Jesus' name, amen.